Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the NLP UK Training Podcast. So today we're going to be answering the question for you about would you like to run your own successful coaching or training business, and how do you go about doing that?
Wow.
Sounds good, doesn't it, Steve?
Sounds fantastic.
So both Steve and I have been in business between us, for over 40 years between us. That's quite scary, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it is scary.
So Steve has been running Quality Culture for...
23 years.
I've run multiple businesses, been running my own coaching business for nearly 6 years now.
Yeah.
But I've had businesses previously. So between us, we've got a lot of experience. And that's one of the things that we absolutely love to do is give that experience and that knowledge to our delegates that come on our NLP practitioner and master practitioner courses, isn't it?
I was reading by a guy called Frederick Laloux that people who get the highest level of, he called it consciousness, but I'm going to call it values where you are your authentic self. He was saying that the highest motivator for people who've let go of lots of stuff is to be their truest self, to express themselves in the truest way, whatever that means them doing, but close to where they feel completely at ease and they're enjoying life and they're enjoying what they do and they're expressing their truest self in everything they do. And I think if you are running your own show successfully, doing what you want to do, like we said in the first episode of Loving What You Do, then you are more likely to be expressing your truest self than you are if you are in the grey zone, turning up, attending meetings that you don't really want to be there, arguing about what grade you're on and thinking you should be on a grade A and you're on a grade B or this or that or the other. Then I think having your own stuff is the greatest expression of your truest self. And it's what our ancestors did. All the trades, they used to be trades and they used to be people who would be a carpenter and they'd be great at carpentry. And there'd be people who were farriers who'd be great at metalwork. And people used to do their own things and were trades. So employment in that sense is quite a relatively new concept, something that is more from Victorian times. And maybe that model is shifting. And I think there's a lot of people, you maybe too, who would like to do it, but haven't quite got the courage. And I know from personal experience, I thought about doing it when I was 35. But I didn't do it because of a limiting belief that I didn't know I had. So I think to stand the chance of being your truest self, then doing your own thing and loving what you do and making money while you're doing it is the best way of living your life, really, because you're not stuck in an old-fashioned hierarchy way of thinking and doing things.
I think when you run your own business, it gives you that autonomy and control over your own destiny. And that's something that's quite special when you can do that.
Yeah. I mean, you still get hassle. I mean, I've had an email at lunchtime saying from, you know, the bank, the credit card people who process credit card payments, we can't read your authenticity identity records. So it's a hassle to have to go and phone them and answer their questions to fit in with their requirements. You do get things like the hassle, but I've chosen to do it and I want to continue being able to take credit card payments. But it's a hassle. But I don't have to do it.
I think the thing is, when you're running your own business, your mindset when things come up that are a hassle is completely different. When you're working for an organisation, I always found, you know, way back when, those hassle things would get to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now that I run my own business, well, it's just part of what I do.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's other things that I could be doing, but you just get on with it, you do it, and it's done, because that adds to what you're doing overall with your business that is more fulfilling.
Yeah. Can I tell you about one of the Accelerate sessions that we ran? I'm not sure whether you were there or whether you were training somewhere else, but I think it was one of those where you do some on your own and I do some on my own. And I asked them all, these are all people who are doing the Accelerate program, which is, it comes along with, you know, our How to Run a Successful Coaching or Training Business program. And I asked each of them, what's the hardest thing you've had to do in your business? And they were, some were saying it's selling, and some were saying it's getting material together, content for leadership training, or getting coaching clients. And when they'd all finished, I said, I think the hardest thing you've had to do in your business is deciding to set it up. Mm. And once you've done that, the rest, that's the hardest thing to do, to decide to do it. And I think once you've decided to do it, then you can start working towards it. And I don't know anybody who's not worked hard at trying to get customers and projecting the right energy who's not succeeded. Mm. Everyone I know who's projected the right energy has succeeded. And I used to be against all this woo-woo energy, hippie, hoppy, happy energy stuff. I remember going to my training where you're right, doing an exercise on energy, and you had to hold the hands up and push the energy towards someone else. I'm thinking, this lot of crap. But I really do believe that the energy that I put out goes out into the universe and comes back. So if I write a particularly, if I say something on social media that's a bit negative, I think that's bad energy. Mm. I think that gets put out. If I think that there won't be work, then there won't be work.
You see what you believe.
Exactly. I mean, I was saying to the group on Accelerate a couple of weeks ago, look out of your window and you'll see someone on your road. They'll be having a new kitchen fitted. Further up the road, there'll be a skip outside. Further up the road, they'll be having deliveries of something. Walk down your main street and there'll be a new shop opening. There may be shops closing, but there'll be new shops opening. Look at in the paper at how many people are queuing up to go on holiday abroad somewhere. So we're supposed to be, and I don't want to date this, but we're supposed to be struggling financially. One of my delegates, you know, from Manchester said, Steve, my life has always been in recession. My whole life's a recession. And it probably was for him, because that's the way he saw it. But there's people spending money all the time. And all we want to do is to be able to channel some of that into your business. And I'll tell you the other thing I realised was that I think I'd been in business for like 2.5 years. And I suddenly realised I got more security than I had when I was on a 3-month notice period or a 6-month notice period with the company I was working for. Because one line dashed through an organisation chart from someone in America could wipe out the whole of a UK division or 4 divisions in the case I was in. So, but I realised that if I lost one customer, I've still got 9 more.
Yeah.
So if that's not security, and by the way, there's some money in the bank, in the business account, and by the way, there's still work being put forward into the future. So once you realise that, once I realised that, I realised I had more security anyway.
I think when you run your own business, the hardest part is that change of mindset from being an employee to really taking that personal responsibility for everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're an employee, ultimately, you don't have that responsibility. Someone else always does.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your business. It's not your circus. It's not your monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, to a certain degree, have a little bit of soap and shoulders. Mm-hmm. When it's your own business, you cannot do that. Your destiny is 100% in your own hands.
Mm-hmm.
So having that mindset of, if I want it, I need to take action to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a different mindset from being an employee. Mm-hmm. And once you can really get your head around that mindset, everything comes from there.
I think the way I saw it was, my dad said to me, well, you've done this before anyway.
Mm.
You're consulting anyway. You're just invoicing the same customer.
Mm.
All you need to do is invoice some different customers. And I realised that in my background, because I used to DJ, had two mobile discos with three of us running them. And we pay one of them. And I realised I'd already been selling. I remember going to a hotel and saying, we've not met before, we'd like to have a chat. What do you do? Do you do any events at Christmas? And it gave us enough work in 1 month to buy a new set of kit, new turntables, new amps, new speakers, new lights, so that we could have one with me running it on my own while the other two ran the main one. And I realised, you know, when it came to setting up Quality Culture, that I'd already sold.
Yeah.
I'd already done it.
But we sell all the time.
Yeah.
Whether we're selling a product or a service doesn't really matter. We're selling our ideas. So if you're employed at the moment in a non-sales-facing role, you're still selling every single day. If you want, for example, your boss to approve something that you want to change, you've got to sell that idea to them. So it's no different.
Or if someone gives you a project, you say, why do we want to achieve this project? Mm. Why, you know, what's the purpose of doing it? And it's almost like a coaching session, which we can cover on another episode. And it's just like, so what are we doing this for? What's the benefit of doing it? And then going away and thinking about some options and then presenting back and saying, do these sound of interest? Is this kind of going to give you what you wanted? And yeah, lots of people in organisations do that all the time.
Yeah.
Because there's many support activities in a larger organisation or a public sector organisation that does that. So yeah, absolutely.
So if you can coach, you can sell.
Yeah.
I think one of the great things is that when people work with us on our courses for NLP and practitioner, master practitioner, they get that free added benefit of the Accelerate program.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that I wish I'd had when I first started my first business. Just having that community and that group to talk things through with and have that benefit of someone that's been there, done that, got the t-shirt, that you can bounce ideas from.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can be a little bit lonely when you start your own business, can't it?
It can, yeah. But one of the things I found was that I did some associate training for an organisation and we became quite pally with the other trainers. And we'd phone each other up in the morning from the car on the way out to wherever we're going. So what are you up to today, Stevie lad? Oh, I'm going to such and such. Where are you off to? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. So even though you think you're on your own, there is a community of worky friends that you build up who are in a similar situation. And then you may find, okay, we've got this job going on. It's quite big. Who wants to come in with me? Two or three of us will do it together. So I found that I didn't lose any of that. In fact, if anything, it became better because the people I was mixing with, I mean, when I started training, I was working with one of the best trainers in the country, and he was always on first. So when it was time to get up and do my stuff, I had to, you know, really up my game, because I was following the guy I considered to be one of the best trainers in the country, if not the best. So that helped me up my game. But also that fun and connection with other people is still there. And people who we have on Accelerate, they meet up and they talk separately and they do things together, don't they? And they help each other out. Two have just run their own podcast together. Two ex-NHS nurses have got their own podcast.
Fantastic, isn't it?
I saw it on the WhatsApp group the other day. I'm looking forward to listening to it at the weekend.
And I think, you know, we know that one of the ladies that comes to Accelerate has been coming since we started, Joel. And it's quite interesting. I mean, we've been running this for some years now. And Joel's running a really successful bit coaching business. She doesn't really need us anymore, but she still comes every single month that she can. And what she said is that she really enjoys that community. And just being able to listen to what other people are doing, get some different ideas and bounce off each other.
And she said it gives her headspace as well, where she's not thinking about anything else. In fact, one of the things she said was she wants to spend, maybe experiment with doing 1 week working, then the next week creating more work, and then 1 week working, next week creating more work. Wood in the trees is her business, isn't it? I know when she first started out, it was more, I don't know how, I don't have an accountant, I don't know how to do this. And we had our accountant came in and gave a talk, Liz, and what to do, what a sole trader is, what a limited company is, how to do this, the very first things you need to do. She put some slides together, all free of charge, and put them on the Accelerate Teams page, didn't she? So that was good. And then Carl, who owns the web company, hello, Carl, he came along and did a couple of sessions. And the first thing he said was, you do not need a website. You do not need a website to sell. Because what a lot of people do is they think, oh, I've got to get some business cards, I've got to have an Instagram account, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to have a website. Yes, having a website's nice to point people to, but a website doesn't sell you stuff, does it?
No, I mean, I think a website, it's a bit like going back many years ago when companies used to send out brochures. That's like your online version of your brochure. So it's somewhere to send people for a little bit more information rather than something that will sell your services. It would be very unusual for someone to come across your website and immediately buy your services.
Can we give people some tips?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the first thing I did was I wrote down the names of 20 people who I knew, who I thought might be able to help me. And I got in touch with them and I said, I'm doing this now. I'm doing this now. Is there any is there anything that you have that we might be able to talk about? Any problems you have, et cetera, et cetera? Or is there anybody you know who might be interested? I contacted Marks & Spencer's because I've been involved in doing some consultancy with a couple of their suppliers to improve their processes. So I contacted the then quality manager, Marks & Spencer's, and said, you want your suppliers to all improve in their quality of delivery and processing and reduce errors and stuff. I can help with that. Would you be able to give me your contact details for the contacts in your suppliers for quality? And he said, sure. And he gave me a list and I wrote to all of them. I think there were about 30 in all of the top 30 suppliers in non-food, because I don't want to specify in food because that was out of my, I didn't do that. So I contacted 30 and I got a call from one of them. And I remember driving down to see them at their head office in Hertfordshire. I think it's Hertfordshire. And on my way there, I was really positive because I knew I could do it because I'd done it before. Not when I was self-employed, but as an employed person, I'd improved processes. So they said, okay, so we're not going to buy the whole thing. We're not going to buy the whole implementation process. But can you do something for us that might make me enable me to sell you to RMD? So I said, yeah, sure. Let's go and have a look around your factory. So around the factory, they used to make bras. Now, I don't know anything about bras.
Thank the Lord for that, Steve.
And they used to make pants, knickers for M&S. So we went round and I could see these boxes of clothing. And I said, what are those? Oh, they're waiting to be reprocessed. So what do you mean they're waiting to be well, there's some errors being found on stitching and done and stuff like that. It's okay. And we went around these lines and you could see there was loads of stock building up. So I thought, right, I've got them now. And I worked out approximately and asked them approximately how many times they go round the line before being fixed. And I said, give me 2 days and we can reduce that down dramatically and that'll save you X. He said, right, okay. He said, I'll give you a call. I knew he would call me in the car on my way home because it was such a good offering because I was totally confident that what I had, the information I had, was of value to him. And it didn't feel like I was selling anything. It felt like I was helping them massively to save a big chunk of money and speed up their production lines. And sure enough, he did. He phoned me and said, right, okay, you got it 2 days, however many £100 a day. And that was 2002.
So thinking about that, you were really confident because you knew... Yeah. You had something that could benefit them.
Yeah.
Now, when you think about a coaching business,
yeah,
you're not saving someone money, but you could potentially change their entire life. So someone comes to you for career coaching, potentially what you're doing with that coaching, they could get a new job. Number one, that earns them more money year on year on year, but also fulfills their values and gives them that real happiness in what they're doing day to day.
Well, that happened a couple of months ago with Kaylee, one of our delegates. Yeah. She came back on the second week of Master Practitioner and said, hey, it's great, guys. One of my coaching clients has just got a job on £30,000 a year more than she was earning in her current role. So that's... You know, that's really measurable, isn't it?
That is really absolutely measurable.
And even if it's, you're not helping someone get a job with more money, but you're helping them become more fulfilled and happier and truer to their values, it's still that worth.
You can't put a figure on that.
And that woman won't just earn 30,000 more this year. It'll be next year, the year after and the year after. So in 3 years, it'll be 90 grand. I don't know what she paid Katie for the coaching sessions, but, you know, it's a very tiny percentage. So as Kaylee's neurology and confidence develops, she'll know without any question that what she can offer is of value. You know, it's not like we used to have the old model of selling, didn't we? That selling was hard work because you're trying to persuade people at the door to buy some brushes. But it's not like that at all.
No, not at all. You know, ultimately, when you're selling, it's about... I always say I've been in sales my entire career in one way, shape or form. And I always say I've never sold a thing in my life.
Yeah.
I've given people the opportunity to buy something that will be a benefit to them.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So if you know you can do something to help someone...
Yeah.
You don't need to sell in the traditional kind of... double glazing salespeople out there, but that typical kind of the way that it's thought of as selling.
Yeah.
It's a conversation.
Yeah.
And that's the key thing. In business, it's about creating relationships. And if you're a coach, that will come easily to you.
But if you were a double glazing salesperson and you were given the opportunity for some time and you said, would it be of interest to you if I could help you reduce your heating bills? Would it be of interest to you if we could help your home be a bit more secure? And they said, yes. When would be a good time for us to have a discussion? And then find out what they want for their home. Big picture. Mm-hmm. Well, I want it to be secure. The gas bills have gone up. Blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, these units you've got in here, they are double glazed, but they're wood or whatever. We've got some data here showing the blah, 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 blah. Then you're finding out something that they need and they want that will make their lives better. And it's worth the investment. I'll tell you a story. We were looking at doing a podcast 4 years ago and we never did it. And I came to see Carl. Hello, Carl. And because Andy had recommended Carl to do the podcast. I said, Andy, who'd you used for your podcast? He said, Carl. So I came to see Carl and we sat down and we were talking about stuff and we moved on to about the podcast and how we do it. And then we started talking about the website and he looked at the website and we had two websites at the time. One that was for Quality Culture, which had not been updated for a long yonks. But by the time we finished the conversation after about an hour, I knew I wanted him, his company, to do all our website work because I could tell that he was proactive and that he wouldn't just be waiting for me to say, oh, can we have this website? He'd be saying, by the way, guys, your website needs a bit of a refresh. Yeah. We need to do this, we need to do that with it. So after an hour of conversation, I'd gone to talk about podcasts. But actually, the next day, everything was passed over to his company because I could see such value that I wasn't getting before just from a conversation. That conversation was originally about podcasts, but it came for something much bigger.
You never know where a conversation might lead.
Are we allowed to tell the story about Rachel?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've got this other delegate who's got a really successful business now called Rachel. And she came on the NLP coach and practitioner, got rid of some limiting beliefs. And she decided she was going to be a coach. And her husband has a plumbing business, doesn't he? And they've gone through some tough times with COVID and lockdowns and you couldn't have plumbers in your house. Apparently, ridiculous. Do you remember we used to go and wash your ham?
I know.
I went around to him, I spoke to mum and dad once and I said, what are you doing? And she said, we've just been shopping and I'm just wiping the ham down and the packaging down. And it turned out that you couldn't get anything from packaging or touching services. But we believed it. The nasty thing came from touching tabletops. Anyway, so they were in Marks & Spencer's, Andy and Rachel, and they met one of Andy's customers, ex-customers, and he said, how are you doing, Andy? Are you recovering? Business going all right now? Yeah, it's going really well. And then he turned to Rachel and said, and what are you doing with yourself, Rachel, these days? She said, I'm a coach. Bear in mind, she had four clients, single clients. So he said, we're looking at doing some coaching in our organisation. And we had more conversations. You had conversations with her, I had conversations with her. And she sold them 4 months later, 10 breakthrough days for their high performers and 100 hours of coaching to a major fire service.
And that was just in the first year of working with them. She's been working with them for several years now, and obviously that's expanded quite substantially.
Yeah.
So I think kind of when we're looking at kind of top tips for setting up your own business, number one is get some support.
Yeah.
Number two is where are you going to get your customers from?
Write down your top 20 contacts.
Yeah. So who are those contacts? Tell them what you do. That's really key. People cannot buy your services if you don't tell them what you do. So make sure your top 20 contacts know. And anyone that you talk to, tell them what you do, because you never know where that potential business might come from. It might be as you're walking around Tesco's on a Saturday afternoon, talking to your partner's customer about something completely different.
And don't be embarrassed about telling people what you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you go down the main streets in the shopping centres in the cities, they don't take out the clothes from the window or the laptops from the window or whatever it is they're selling on a Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday because they're embarrassed about telling people what they do. Do they?
Shout it from the rooftops.
They have their best stuff in the windows.
So that's our next tip. The other tip is don't get caught up in the little details.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting an accountant's easy. You know, speak to someone that you know that can maybe recommend a good accountant for you, that will be able to give you the advice that you need. Don't get hung up on things like websites. You don't need to have everything before you launch your business. The most important thing about a business is getting clients. Everything else can wait.
Yeah.
So they would be our kind of top tips for you. And obviously, you know, in the course of our podcast, if there is anything else that you feel that would be useful for us to give you some information on, more than happy to do this. So, you know, get in touch with us. If you've got questions about running your own business, we can look at those for one of our future episodes. So guys, that is the end of this episode and we will see you back next time. So take care and we'll see you soon.
Bye.